Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. Wendy, I hope so badly you'll remember this. About a year and a half, you and I played host to two guys, the Sklar brothers, Randy and Jason Sklar. And you know what they did? They came into the studio and they stole our hearts. Do you remember that?
I do.
Guys, bring our hearts back. We want our hearts back.
Sorry.
I was okay with it, actually.
No.
We had fun, though. I remember it fondly.
It was excellent. Randy and Jason are going to be in town at the Lincoln Hall. That's tomorrow night, two shows, 7 and 9 o'clock. You're taping a comedy special, correct?
Yes.
We are.
You can describe it.
We're taping a special for CISO, which is NBC Universal's comedy site. They've been doing a lot of great stand-up specials with the folks over at Audible. Audible.com, they have a visual arm, and they're filming our special. They make a lot of great stand-up. And we said, what is the one city that we want to come to that has the most billboards with Brian Urlacher with hair on it? And it was Chicago.
Yeah, I thought I'd never live to see the day where the Cubs would win a World Series and Brian Urlacher would have hair. And here we stand right now. This is a new world order.
We live in a day of miracles, boys.
Chia Urlacher.
That's what it kind of looks like, but whatever.
Now, guys,
it looks good on him.
It looks great on him. But he looked good bald, too, didn't he?
He did look good bald. Yeah, he looked like he could be like some crazy James Bond villain.
Yeah.
Now it's just like he's just a good looking guy with hair.
You know what I think of it? I think of it as like someone sprinkled a little chives on my egg. So I'm happy with it.
It's an enhancement.
You're going to be happy with it. If you're over at the Tempo Diner getting a skillet, you'll be happy with it.
Oh, best skillets ever.
Right?
Yes.
Guys, all of a sudden, we see you on TV constantly in the Burger King commercials. You must be very proud of that. That came out looking good.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun to do. And we had no intention of doing. I mean, the crazy thing about it, and this was, you know, we went in because we're just not good at commercial auditions. We have friends who are, like, incredible. Our buddy Brad Morris, who was Second City stage guy for years and years, really good friend and a great guy. He's so good. He can be so funny so quickly. It just, normally, it's not our skill set in those instances. And so we told our agent, don't send us on commercial auditions because we're not great at it. And he sends us on this other one. This is how this works.
Yeah.
He sends us on the other one for Verizon. And we were like, why? We're not going to get it. Where's the script? And there's no script because you can improvise. We said, okay, that's good. We show up. There's a couple of people from the Christopher Guest movies there. And we're like, okay, this could be fun. We go in, we do it, and we're about to leave. And the guy who owns the casting agency, Ross Lacey, great guy, said, hey, do you guys want to come in here and do this Burger King ad? Just read this thing for us. And we were like, no, because we're not going to get it.
No, we don't.
Absolutely not.
No.
There's no way. Why would we do it? And he's like, just come in. Forget about the script. Just you guys are arguing, and that's what it is. And we said, all right, fine. We're not getting it. So we come in, and we do the most specific argument ever, walk out saying that was fun, but it's never going to happen. We get a call back for it the next day, and I'll let Jason pick it up from here because the director was the coolest person ever.
So we walk in, and the director is this guy, Chris Bellman, who's done some sports documentaries. He did a really cool LeBron documentary. We walk in, and we're like, we don't know why we're here. Like, this is our energy coming in is like, we don't belong here. And the guy goes, I'm the biggest fan of you guys and what you did on ESPN. So we're just going to talk for a little bit, and I'm going to go lobby for you to go get this commercial. And we're like, what? What is going on? This is not how it works. And he did it. And then they called us the next day, and they're like, you're flying to Miami to shoot a commercial. And so we get to Miami, and I'm like, you know what? I said to Randy, the way things are going, I bet we shoot two commercials while we're here. Randy's like, this is not a campaign. They only hired us for one commercial.
Sure.
That will never happen. We hang out there for a little while. We do our first, we improvise for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And they cut the spot that you've seen out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come to the trailer and they're like, don't leave. They like what you did. They want to do another spot with you. I'm like, what is going on?
That's excellent.
It was great. So we shot another one and we'll see if that one rolls
out.
That's
great.
You know what it was? I've never seen anyone look better in those paper crowns.
Yes. The paper crowns were the best.
You get to keep those or do you have to give those back when you're done?
We
took a few extra and they put the ones we wore in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's
nice. I
don't
know why it was Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They put it at a Hard Rock that I think closed.
Oh,
so that was nice.
Still.
Hey, we have a listener that wants to talk to you. Can you field
great.
A question? We've got the Sklar brothers on the line, Randy and Jason with us, and this is Brixen. Hi, Brixen.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I just want to say that I am a very big fan of Twins. I think Twins are awesome.
Thanks. The Minnesota Twins are just us.
I want two questions. I'm literally laying down on a massage table right now, so I can't stick around and talk. But I'm going to listen to you as I get a massage. Give me your best switcheroo story when you guys pretended to be the other person and when the last time you guys got into a fist fight with each other.
Oh, all right. Good question.
Okay.
Great. I love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Rickson.
Thank you. Okay, Jay, the fist fight story is way easier because we'll hear it, Rue, but okay, so the fist fight story is the last time we got into a fist fight is when we were living in New York and we were doing sets of comedy. There's like 5 or 6 or 7 comedy clubs all around the city, and you know, we would book ourselves out and do like a 9 o'clock down on the like 22nd and 6th, and a 9:45 up at 77th and Columbus, and then a 10:30 over across, and so you'd have to like take the subway and some cabs to get around all these spots. So we get up to the comic strip, which is on the Upper East Side, and for whatever reason, the audience was just not having it. And you know, I put most of the blame on them. Kidding, it was our fault. But we get into the cab afterwards, and Jay's half of the room. I'm just going to say this right now to all of you guys, and it's just the four of us talking. So.
All right.
Okay, we can get intimate.
Sure.
Jay was not handling his business.
Oh no.
His half of the room was silent.
Hey.
So we say not in front of Brixton while he's getting a massage. Okay, while he's getting a massage. I know, that's very uncool. So I turn to Jay. We get into the cab to go to our next spot, and I'm like, way to handle your business. And Jay's like, what? We get into a fight. Now, you understand that New York City cab drivers are, how difficult it is for them to get their medallion. They need every fare.
Yeah.
Think of the days pre-Uber. They want every fare. They want every ounce of money that is coming to them to pay off the ridiculous amount of money that they have to pay off. He stopped the car because we were fist fighting and told us to get out. Get out. And I don't think we've laid a hand on each other since that time. And that was like maybe about 20 years ago. The switch thing, we never like to switch, but Jason and I have always wanted to do a switch movie. Remember like the 18 Again, like Father, Like Son, like the soul-switching movie where the fathers, you know, Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron or Judge Blindfold and Fred Savage. Mm-hmm. But our soul switch is identical twins, and nobody notices, nor do they care, but we treat it with the same urgency like a father and son switching. So the phone rings, and it's between the two of us, and I'm like, you better answer it. They're going to think it's me. Just that moment. We've always wanted to do that.
I think that sounds like a great movie to me. I don't know.
Right, thank you. I'll switcheroo. Come on.
I would watch
switcheroo.
It. Hey, no problem. I have two teenage boys that do occasionally get into a fist fight. And being a mom, mm-hmm. I cannot stand that. And they're big, so I can't get in between them.
Right.
Why do brothers do that?
Guys, why the fight?
I mean, really?
Why the fight?
Jay, you have a son, Jay. Your son is like, because boys are like golden retrievers. You got to just run them in a park and tire them out, and then that's it.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? Girls are like,
and they just run up.
You got to make
run up on stuff. Yeah, you got to. They run up on things. They jump on things. They got to get this energy that's inside of them out of them, and they do it into each other's faces using their fists. Teenage girls just do it behind each other's back.
Yeah.
I have two daughters. So the difference between Jay and I is like how many times in his life Jay's got an 8-year-old son. So you have teenage sons. How many times over the course of the next 10 years, Jason will say to his son this phrase, what are you doing? That's going to be him all the time. To me, to my daughter, turned to both my daughters, 9 and 11, and over the next 5 or 6 years, I'm just going to be like, why are you doing that? You understand what I'm saying?
It's yes.
A different question.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to put them in a cab together, and maybe they'll have their last fight.
Let them fight it out.
Fight it out.
The voices you're hearing belong to Randy and Jason Sklar, the Sklar brothers, appearing at Lincoln Hall tomorrow night, 2 shows, 7 and 9. You want to go to ih-st.com or their website, supersklars.com. Guys, I know that you're identical twins. You're not conjoined twins, but at least once and maybe more than once, you have portrayed conjoined twins, correct?
Yeah,
yes.
Because there just aren't a ton of conjoined twins who are really into acting. You know what I mean? There was at one point, the worst version of it that we ever did was in the movie Bubble Boy. And Jay, you can explain it.
Yeah, we go in for the movie Bubble Boy with Jake Gyllenhaal. Our buddy Zach Galifianakis was in it. It was actually a really fun movie to do a long time ago. This is like 99 or 2000 maybe, yeah, out here. And we come in and they're like, we want to use you guys. We were thinking to put you in the like group of circus freaks. We want you to be Siamese twins. We had just done a Siamese twin thing for something else. And they said, go in the hallway and improvise something and then come in and we'll see what we think about it. And so Randy and I, like dummies, go in the hallway and we're like, what's the weirdest thing we can do? What's the thing that's so messed up that like that we have to do this? So we said, what if we were conjoined at the head?
Yeah.
And one of us was an Orthodox rabbi and the other was a transvestite.
Oh.
And we're like, and they have to live with each other's lives.
Yeah.
Like, we came up with so much backstory. We were like tiny characters in this thing. We walk in and we just start improvising that thing, and they loved it. Yeah. Little did we know that we were committing ourselves to the most uncomfortable prosthetic that connected us to each other,
yeah,
for like 8 hours, where my head is like turned to the side, and Randy's dressed as a woman, and I'm dressed as an Orthodox Jew. And as a Jew, I was like, I think I'm more uncomfortable right now just as an Orthodox Jew than Randy. He got to complain more. It was not fair. Yeah.
And the Grey's Anatomy was awesome.
Grey's Anatomy one was great, too, because there was like a moment where they wrote it so beautifully. They did such a good job. And it was like at the time when, you know, 25 million people were watching that show. So I remember they gave us like a script that wasn't the script, a dummy script. You know, they give you one that's not the actual script because they don't want you to leak it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so
for the audition.
Yeah, and then we get there and we're doing it and they were really sweet and they kind of let us go a little bit. And I just remember there was like a moment where they're like, I don't know. They wanted us to improvise, but then they didn't want the other actors to feel like they could just go off the script as much as they want. So that was a great moment where we kind of improvised a little bit and then looked over at Katherine Heigl and we're like, nope, not you.
So would you say, now I have daughters who are twins and people always said, be careful as they're growing up because they'll be able to finish each other's sentences. There's some evidence of that when you guys do stand up. I don't know if it's how planned it is or not, but there is some element of that with you guys, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I think it's, you know, we do this and we've been sort of partners in this business for over 20 years and 23 years. And we've been, you know, obviously like your daughters, you know, we've been together and growing up at the same time,
sure,
for so long that you understand each other and understand each other's rhythms, know when someone is going to step forward. I mean, we growing up and, you know, sort of coming of age, like in the 80s and 90s, we were huge fans of the Beastie Boys. We always felt like those guys would, and rap from that period of time would like, they were just very smart about knowing when this person is going to step forward, these guys are going to step back, and then this person steps forward. And it's just, you don't have to even talk about it. You just do it. And so that was, you know, in some way, even though that had nothing to do with comedy, that was very influential on how we kind of thought about what we were doing and don't step on the other person and, you know, let that person go forward.
Boy, your inspiration, yeah, the Beastie Boys, that blows my mind.
I mean, they were funny.
They were funny.
They were great. They were successful. They were cool. I mean, who didn't want to be those guys? I mean, the best story about the Beastie Boys is like for a period in New York, if you talk to anyone who lived in New York, they all said that like they were babysat by the Beastie Boys. I'm like, if everyone was babysat by the Beastie Boys, you guys would have never had a rap career. They were like the babysitter's club.
But remember on stage for a while, there was always five or six kids in the corner just kind of sitting and coloring or playing with blocks. So maybe,
yes,
they worked that out somehow.
That's true. They were bringing their work
remember
with
that
on stage.
Yep, yep.
Yes.
All right, well, two shows tomorrow night at Lincoln Hall. Wish you guys could have come in the studio. Next time you're in town, you have to promise us to come in and steal our hearts again.
You know we will, and we love doing your show, and thank you guys so much for having us on. We love it every time.
Go see the boys, Randy and Jason, the Sklar brothers, tomorrow night, Lincoln Hall, two shows, 7 and 9. I believe it's lh-st.com. That makes more sense because it's Lincoln Hall. It looks like it's
Lincoln
IH,
Hall.
But it's,
yep,
lh-st, or their website, which is Super Sklars, Sklars. Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
It's Randy and Jason Sklar.
I love them.
Very funny. All right, a break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.